For 27 years now, on a Sunday night in January or February, I have been competing unsuccessfully with the Super Bowl. But I'm very, very happy that you're here this evening to celebrate the liturgy. It'd be difficult if nobody was in church, so thank you for coming. Those of you who are regulars here will notice we have a lot of religious here with us this evening, and the reason for that is we've just come to the conclusion of the Year for Religious Life that was officially celebrated on February the 2nd. So we're doing our own little celebration of that at the on the Sunday closest to that, after the 2nd of February. So dear sisters, thank you very much for the witness of your life. I'll talk a little bit about that later in my homily. One more thing before I begin reflection on today's scripture reading. I'm a movie lover, and I write reviews about movies sometimes for Catholic magazines. And because of that, the movie makers send me movies. They can do that by email now with a code that you can't share it with other people. But they sometimes do, they always do that when they want me to write a positive review. Sometimes I can't do that in conscience. But this morning, between 5 and 7, I watched a movie called Risen, which will be coming out, I think, in about 2 weeks. It's obvious from the title that it's about the resurrection of Jesus. In today's second reading, which is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Paul said this, "I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day." And he lists all those witnesses of the resurrection, which are names familiar to us, the apostles and the like. The resurrection of Jesus is at the center of our life as Christians. It's of first importance. And this movie is very, very good. It's a movie that is obviously written and perhaps performed by believers. And it's really worth your time and attention. The acting is good, the quality of the film is as good as any film, and the storyline follows faithfully the scriptures. So it's a really wonderful movie. So I can in conscience say that and also invite you to make it part of your Lenten practice as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at Easter time. So let's look at today's scripture readings. When I was a 13-year-old boy, I went to the seminary. And the seminary I went to was in a little town in Kansas that had a population of maybe 200 people. But in this town, there was a massive church, easily the size of this cathedral, which was called the Cathedral of the Plains. William Jennings Bryan, who was a famous person in the 1800s, ran for president then. When he saw this church, he called it the Cathedral of the Plains. And that cathedral had a very important place in my spiritual development. Sometimes I would go into the cathedral at night when nobody else was there, and I always did that during the retreats that we had every October in the seminary. And frequently, I had an experience of God that I would say was somewhat like the description that of Isaiah's meeting God in the temple in today's first reading. I don't mean that I'm a prophet in that sense, but it wasn't a visual experience of God's presence, but I had a deep experience of the kind of things that this reading is about, that God is God, immensely different than we are, and immensely above us, but at the same time, that God, who is other than us, draws close in love. I had a deep experience of my unworthiness, my sinfulness, and yet had at the same time an experience that God was going to send me to be part of his mission in the world. And that experience is not supposed to be experienced for a few. That kind of experience is at the basis of each one of our spiritual lives. Maybe it doesn't take place in a church, although that helps. You ought to think of going to your parish church when it's empty and pray. It sometimes happens on a retreat, but sometimes happens even at work, where we become aware of God's immensity, and it gives us a sense of gratitude and also a sense of our unworthiness. And it's from those two experiences of God's immensity and our unworthiness that the vocation to go is born. Now, this young man, I don't know how old Isaiah was, but he was a young man, 725 years before the birth of Christ. He goes to the temple to pray for the dead king, who was one of the few good kings of Israel, Uzziah. And in that moment, move from being afraid to saying, "Here I am, send me." So you ought to do all you can to make that experience of God part of your life. Today's first reading was chosen because it's paralleled in today's gospel in a slightly different way. But the experience of Peter is the same experience of Isaiah in the first reading. Now, Jesus is preaching to the crowds. He asks Peter for the loan of his boat. He sits on the boat and he teaches the crowds. And then afterwards, he tells Peter to go out into the deep water. Now, Peter was probably a rough fisherman. He knew more about fishing than Jesus, at least he thought he did. Now, Jesus was a carpenter. What would he know? And yet, in obedience, he went out into the deep water and cast the net. And we had this miracle of the huge catch that required two boats. But then that experience happened. Peter experienced the immensity of who Jesus was. It tells us that he fell on his knees and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But out of that experience of Jesus' immensity and his own unworthiness, his vocation was born. And Jesus said, "Oh no, Peter, I'm not going to depart from you. From now on, you're going to be a fisher of men." It happened once again. Now, dear sisters, when this reading was read to me in my high school and college days, and we came to the last line of the gospel, we were told by all the preachers that it applied to us in religious life in the seminary. I mean, it says here, after this experience that Peter had, when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. And those of us who are religious, I'm a religious as well as a priest, those of us who are clergy, were seen in those days as the one God calls to leave everything behind and follow him. But I don't think that's true. This is not about religious life or the priesthood. It's about ordinary Christian living. You know, if you ask yourself, why did Jesus pick fishermen to be his apostles? Why didn't he pick the ones who were already prepared, like the priests, those who cared for the temple? Why didn't he pick people who already were leaders, like the leaders of the Sanhedrin? Why did he pick rough, probably poorly educated fishermen who didn't have any proven communication skills? Well, we don't know why. You know, we don't know why God does anything, because God is God and we're just human beings. But one of the suggestions that's made is the reason he did this is because those who thought they already knew something would not be able to hear the message of Jesus clearly. Somebody like me. You know, I think I know it all already. And the sisters, you know, they're religious. They know it all. They know the Bible better than anybody else. And the reason he didn't pick the synagogue leaders is because they were probably interested in leading the synagogue rather than in preaching the gospel. They were busy about being important. And when Jesus decided to pick apostles, he picked ordinary people, the fishermen, which tells us that if Jesus were doing this today, he wouldn't pick me or someone like me, nor someone like these seminarians. He would pick someone like you. Everyone here. This is a gospel about the vocation to be a Christian. All of us are called to leave everything behind to follow him. Now, the sisters and brothers, religious, do all of us a favor because they are living signs in the midst of the Christian community on how to do that. Even if we're not called to religious life, we're called to see in them a sacrament or a sign of what gospel life is all about. They live it in a unique kind of way, but a way that calls the rest of us to lead that life where we find ourselves. You know, Jesus was wonderful about preaching in the midst of ordinary life. He did it on a boat. He wasn't in the temple preaching. He was preaching in the boat, in the lives of the ordinary people. And that's what Christianity is about. It's about the presence of Jesus in the life of the world. So we're grateful for religious who model Christian commitment to us. But it's never enough to admire. You know, we have to live it ourselves. Now, St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of the community I belong to, when he heard the brothers preaching about the saints and how wonderful they were, always said, it's easy to talk about the saints, it's much harder to live like one. And that's what he wanted the brothers to do. And that's what God wants you and I to do. And we have a great opportunity for this because Lent is just around the corner. You know, Wednesday's already Ash Wednesday. It comes very early this year. And those of you who come to this Mass regularly know that for the last 4 years I've been encouraging you to prepare for Lent by spending the days prior to Lent, the Sunday today to Ash Wednesday, deciding what you're going to do. Or else Lent will come and it'll be over with and you'll still be thinking about what you're going to do, you know. And the Church asks us to consider three things, basic things of Christian life. Prayer, which is about our relationship with God. Almsgiving, which is about being generous with other people. And the third is fasting, which is about self-discipline. And each of us has an area of life where we need to discipline ourselves more than we've done before. So you ought to spend the time between now and Wednesday preparing for Lent. You know, Lent is about preparing for the renewal of our baptismal commitment on Easter. The way we prepare is to prepare the preparation by having a very good Lent. The Lord calls each and every one of us here to leave everything and follow him. May he give us the strength to do that. And sisters, once again, happy conclusion of the year of religious life.